The 14th Amendment of the Constitution bans from office certain former officials who have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But when Colorado's Supreme Court ruled that that meant removing Donald Trump from the state's presidential primary ballot, Trump took it to the Supreme Court in the case of Trump versus Anderson. At Thursday's hearing, the former president was represented by Jonathan Mitchell, a lawyer perhaps best known for his work on Texas radical abortion law, SB 9. He made two arguments. First, that the Insurrection Clause, also known as Section 3, does not apply to a former president.
The second reason is that Section 3 cannot be used to exclude a presidential candidate from the ballot, even if that candidate is disqualified from serving as president under Section 3. Because Congress can lift that disability after the candidate is elected, but before he takes office. A state cannot exclude any candidate for federal office from the ballot on account of Section 3, and any state that does so is violating the holding of term limits by altering the Constitution's qualifications for federal office.
The justices seemed to dismiss Mitchell's arguments pretty quickly. They spent more time discussing other reasons Trump should be allowed on the ballot. Justice Elena Kagan is one of the three liberal justices on the high court.
I think that the question that you have to confront is why a single state should decide who gets to be president of the United States. In other words, you know, this question of whether a former president is disqualified for insurrection to be president again is, you know, just say it. It sounds awfully national to me. So whatever means there are to enforce it would suggest that they have to be federal, national means.
Chief Justice John Roberts suggested that upholding Colorado's ruling against Trump could lead to political retaliations.
In very quick order, I would expect, although my predictions have never been correct, I would expect that a goodly number of states will say, whoever the Democratic candidate is, you're off the ballot, and others, for the Republican candidate, you're off the ballot. And it'll come down to just a handful of states that are going to decide the presidential election. That's a pretty daunting consequence.
Reaction to the case was swift. Republican Congressmember Roger Marshall of Kansas spoke to reporters outside the court building, even before the hearing.
What we know is going to happen here is this is going to embolden the American people even more, that they're going to get out and vote. You know what? Doesn't kill you makes you stronger. This is going to make President Trump even stronger.
He called the issue another political witch hunt by the Biden administration.
But what's at risk for the future is if they would call this an insurrection, then why wouldn't we call 10 million people crossing the border illegally an insurrection? Why wouldn't we call the situation where you take away your freedoms of speech, your freedoms of religion, your freedoms to bear arms, why wouldn't we call that an insurrection as well?
Nearby protesters who heard the comments were not impressed.
So you really think people on the border is an insurrection? What kind of education have you had, sir? When you have tens of thousands of people attack the state capitol, people are killed because of that, beaten, that was an insurrection. And Trump called it, you know it, the whole world knows it. And to try and like confuse people by saying the stuff on the border is an insurrection makes you sound like an idiot.
Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold also spoke outside the court, but after the hearing. She says insurrectionists, if elected, could dismantle democracy from within. She hopes the justices will protect democracy from what she calls the danger of another Trump presidency.
We are only here because there's an unprecedented situation. A president who decided that he would steal the presidency from the American people. I don't believe that the president is a get-out-of-jail-free card, and I hope the justices hold him accountable.
As for Trump, he did not attend the hearing, but he spoke to reporters from his home in Florida.
And it's an honor to have you at Mar-a-Lago. I hope you like it. It's worth a little more than $18 million.
Like Congressmember Marshall, Trump took issue with the term insurrection.
This was an insurrection, if it was an insurrection, which there were no guns, there were no anything except for the fact that they shot Ashley Babbitt. Somebody from police force shot Ashley Babbitt. So unnecessary, so sad, so horrible.
He framed the Colorado ballot case in the context of his other pending court cases, which he dismisses as phony.
Every one of these cases you see comes out of the White House. It comes out of Biden. It's election interference, and it's really very sad.
He also made his argument for presidential immunity, saying there are some very bad people and an opposition party that he says will do things that are very bad.
If you don't have immunity, you can be blackmailed. You can be, as a president, they'll say, if you don't do this, this, and this, we're going to indict you as soon as you leave office. You cannot allow a president to be out there without immunity. If they don't have immunity, you don't have a presidency.
Over the course of the two-hour hearing, the justices seemed inclined to let Trump remain on Colorado's ballot. Colorado's presidential primary is scheduled for March 5th, and whether Trump has a place on the ballot is now in the hands of the Supreme Court. Trump, who appointed three of the nine justices when he was president, says he's a believer in the Supreme Court.
Can you take the person that's leading everywhere and say, hey, we're not going to let you run? You know, I think that's pretty tough to do, but I'm leaving it up to the Supreme Court.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.